Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, May 19th, 2026. I am happy to be here today. It's a wonderful week. It is a rainy week in Colorado, in Denver. And boy, have we needed it. It started on Sunday. And Sunday was a really fun day for me because I went to the Rockies game with my brother and sister-in-law. That was my birthday present. They took me to lunch and it took me to the Rockies game and just had a blast. And it was, they said rain was kind of pretty much guaranteed in the forecast. However, when they picked me up to take me to lunch, it was still sunny outside and we had a nice lunch and then we're getting ready to walk to the stadium. We get our, we walk out the door and it's like the seasons changed. It was dark. There was thunder, lightning. It was raining. So we put on our raincoats and walked to the game and nobody was allowed. The game was on hold on rain delay because of the thunder and lightning. And I mean, there was just a ton of rain. So we stood there and waited for a while. And I don't know, that rain delay seemed like it was a pretty long time. And then we finally got to our seats and, had a beer and we're watching the game. And the Rockies had won. They were playing the Diamondbacks and they'd won the first two games in the series. And this one was just not going well. So we left early, but it was so much fun. And the rain, I don't know if the rain held off. I bet it didn't, because we made one more stop and then they brought me home. And by the time I got home, it was about, I don't know, maybe five o'clock probably. It was pouring rain. So I don't know what happened, but I know they didn't win and that's okay. But what a fun time. And, the other cool thing about all this rain is, last week, I get an email from this service. They're called Mile High Aeration, but they do other things. And I've used them for years. And they have a liquid aeration, like the aeration they use on golf courses. So a liquid aeration combined with a fertilizer and overseeding. So they were like, we're going to have rainy days. Do you want us to come do your yard? I was like, absolutely, yes. I mean, my grass is crunchy and brown because, we're on watering restrictions and all of that stuff. And I mean, by now, normally, any other year, it would have been green for the past month, probably. But we are just having the most interesting, we had a super dry winter. And now it's like things are turning around. We had some really hot days last week. It was in the 80s at least a couple of days. So to have it turn around and have this cold, rainy weather. In fact, last night we had a freeze warning. This morning when Grace and I went out for a walk, it was 36 degrees. It only got to 40 yesterday. Today, I think it might get to 50. But we have rain in our forecast through Thursday. So I'll take it. And my grass is turning green. Finally, it's turning green. So it's just exciting. It's exciting to see that happen. And the rain is so revitalizing. It just is. It doesn't matter if it's cold. It clears the air. It's a wonderful healing, at least to me. And I think other people think of it in that way too. But I want to tell one more kind of fun story. My birthday was last Monday and my mother's birthday was yesterday. Our birthdays are exactly a week apart. And last week, I don't remember if it was actually on my birthday. I think it might have been. I think it was on my birthday. And I went to make a call on my phone, a number that I don't know, that I don't use. I can't remember. It could have been to the insurance company or whatever. Anyway, I started to make that call and it had a 303 area code, the number that I was calling. And I don't know if I finished it or not, but I put the phone down and all of a sudden I hear a busy signal on my phone. And I thought, what the heck? You know, I mean, I just put the phone down a little bit ago. I look, and it was my mom's phone number. I still have it in my favorites just because I haven't really thought about it, you know, and didn't think to take it out a couple years ago. But I thought that was really funny. So then I hung up and walked away, and it happened again. So it was just, that was, I think, my mom's little hello for me on my birthday, which was really, really sweet. But it's just kind of interesting. She and I have an interesting communication. It's like, you know, the time I talked about, I've told the story before when I was doing something, and you know, on my Aura frame, the rotating pictures, my digital frame, there are times when I see Mom and Shannon, my husband, all day long, just all day long. And there are relatively few pictures of them on there compared to my grandchildren and flowers and my plants and all the stuff I love. Aside from them, I love them too. But you know, it was one day when I saw her picture, and I always say hi to her when I see her picture. And I just said, why don't you just come visit me in a dream? And that wasn't like, come and visit me in a dream. Why aren't you? It wasn't that. It's like, why don't you come see me in a dream? And later on, you know, that day or the next day, I'm sitting by my desk working, and a little candle that was in her bathroom that I have in a little nook outside my office flew off the shelf onto the floor. And there's no way that that could have happened, just happened. Not that where it sits on the shelf, not how far it flew out. It was like pitched out, not just fall. If it fell down, it would have fallen down onto the shelf. So we just have an interesting communication, but that was a new one. That was a new one. Her number showing up and actually being dialed. I mean, I don't know. She's a creative woman, still is. So anyway, I just wanted to say thanks for being here today. Thanks for listening. The show is live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, just go to 12radio.com, click chat. Then you can click the YouTube link posted under my banner. I don't do readings on this show. It is a teaching platform. But if you would like a reading or healing from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. Usually available later morning, Pacific time into the evening. If you don't see me or if I happen to be busy, schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately via text, and I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can, and I will always do my best to meet your schedule. We do have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and of course the 12th of each month, 12day, which was last Tuesday. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions, which all you do is leave your email address, and then you don't miss anything. And most of all, you don't miss Mark's great postcards because he sends out the best postcards for whatever's going on at 12listen. And while you're there, you can post what you're grateful for on the gratitude board. That's great. It's a wonderful way for us to support you. Gratitude brings more to be grateful for. It opens your head. It opens your spirit. It just is a wonderful way to live. Just being grateful for whatever is good takes your attention away from what is not. So, and we moderate that board 24/7, the advisors of 12listen, which just means we add our attention to your intention. And that just combines the energy behind it and adds to your energy. So whether it's in your experience or not, post what you're grateful for on the gratitude board, and we will celebrate it with you. There is programming 24/7 on 12radio.com. There are archives of all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want, and those archives are another way of supporting you, you know, whatever you might want to listen to somebody you don't listen to all the time. Just take a chance. You know, it's a great source of inspiration, information, and support. So I do encourage you to take advantage. And right now, I just want to say thanks to Serena for producing the show today. Got a lot to talk about in the teaching segment. The topic is faith. And I have wonderful voices who taught a lot about faith that I'm going to share with you. So let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Amor, Part 1 by Akalia from the Amadas Estrellas CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it, and I'll be back right after.
Mi amor.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. As I said right before we took the break, I want to, today's lesson, today's teaching segment is about faith. And, you know, it took me a really, really long time to figure out what faith was. It was just so, I don't know. I could never get my hands around it. You know, I could never understand really what faith was. And that's because it's unexplainable, really. But today, I'm just going to go back through or along with some of my very favorite foundational teachers, Dr. Irvin Seal, Joel Goldsmith, of course, Alan Watts, and Florence Scovel Shinn. I have just, you know, reignited my love affair with Florence over the past few weeks. She's just incredible. And she's someone that I found, probably 2012, The Game of Life and How to Play It, the Florence Scovel Shinn reader that has her very favorite, her works, all of her works. It's like the Neville reader that has all of the books that he wrote. And it's just wonderful. And she's just a dynamo. I mean, if you need a little inspiration, read a little bit of Florence, because there's just so much power behind what she says. I mean, you can feel her, you can feel her spirit. And it's just wonderful. So anyway, these four people have very different explanations of faith, very different descriptions, maybe I should say is a better word. And they're, as I said, they're all very different, but they're all totally magical. So I'm going to start with Dr. Irvin Seal. In his book, Success Is You, Irvin Seal wrote about developing faith using the law of action and reaction. He gave an example of how our bodies respond to our thoughts and desires, as in you're sitting in a chair and decide you want to go into the other room for something, and you do it without thinking about it. Your desire or your thought does not animate your body. Life or source animates your body. Just like you're not consciously growing your hair or beating your heart and you don't think about it. You know that it's happening, and you take no thought about it whatsoever. He also gave the example of a chemist who has great faith in the law of action and reaction, as he witnesses in the laboratory, because the action and reaction between chemicals is observable. But he may not have faith in the same law under other conditions and in relation to personal concerns of his own life. Dr. Seal wrote, "As Newton laid it down long ago, reaction is always equal and opposite to action. Therefore, I'm suggesting to the chemist and to you, who may not believe widely enough in this law, to lift your eyes, to widen your horizon, and to see and understand that the same law was functioning when you thought and wished to get up and go to the other room. Something in your mental-physical relationship responded and moved and activated the muscles of your legs and carried you in the direction of your wish. Now, this truth is present everywhere in life. Something is trying to help us. Something is trying to come into our lives. Something is trying to raise us up. Something is trying to inform us and to make us wise. Something is always trying to beguile us from our fears and our uncertainties and from our miseries and our weaknesses and from our inhumanities. But it can only go so far. It makes itself available to us and then waits for our recognition and our understanding. For without recognition on our part, there would be no such thing as understanding. Any automatic compulsion by God of man toward inevitable good would not help man to develop a self-consciousness. Understanding help man to develop as a self-conscious understanding entity. So God can't compel us to do anything. He's got all this good. He is good. He is life, everything. But he can't force that on us. We have to develop the consciousness for it. That was my interjection. Dr. Seal goes on to say, it waits for our recognition. And the moment we recognize and think toward it, it responds. It comes rushing into our lives as health, as happiness, as peace and joy, or as any good thing that which we have previously lacked. In the New Testament, it is personified as Jesus, the Savior of the world, who stands at the door and knocks, but cannot enter until the resident of the house answers the door and opens it from the inside. And then the verse, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's Hebrews 11:1. Joel, here's Joel's take on faith. Joel Goldsmith wrote, millions of fine people the world over, quote unquote, believe in God, have, quote unquote, faith that God will heal, save, reform, enrich, as the case may be. Most of these earnest ones go through an entire lifespan, believing, having faith, yet witnessing little or no fruitage from their faith. Actually, it has rarely been revealed to the world that faith is not an activity of the mind. It is not an act of concept of the intellect. And therefore, such believing or faith is without signs following. Faith is a spiritual perception entirely apart from conscious thought or human reason. Faith is a transcendental quality and an act of the soul. Faith is achieved only as one refuses to believe or have faith and retires into the within-ness of himself and there asks for light and spiritual realization. Faith is the ability to see the invisible, hear the inaudible, know the unknowable. And this is possible only through inner vision or spiritual perception. In quietness and confidence, I await the unfoldment of the true faith, that which God will impart to me in some understandable way. This, of course, will not be a formula. You will take this theme into consciousness and let it formulate itself in your own words and thoughts. In quietness and confidence, you await the establishment of God's faith and his vision within you. Faith is not something generated in us toward God, but a quality and activity of God imparted by him to us. That's from the heart of mysticism. That's a really interesting, it's a really interesting, I want to say concept. That doesn't even cover it. But to sit and to just be in that quiet. Again, you know, when we go, as Joel has said, and I've shared before, prayer is not us talking to God, but God talking to us. And the only way that happens is to be in that quiet, in that space where we are feeling the movement of spirit, or at least we're available to feel that movement of spirit, to get quiet, to be in that quiet space, to let thoughts come and go without paying attention to them, because they're going to come and go. But to feel that you can just put your weight down in that presence. It's just a really lovely place to be. And that's where we are in, you might call active listening. Not talking, not thinking, not having an agenda, just being in the quiet, being in the stillness, just allowing whatever happens to happen. And that may be for 2 minutes. You know, it may be 2 minutes, it may be a minute, but that's the connection. That's the connection. And when you feel it, as Neville said, God is known by experience or not at all. When you have that experience, I think my truth through my experience is that's when you know that God is, and you know that God is you, that God is accessible in every moment, whatever you need. It's like in returning and rest is my salvation. You know, I always imagine that as in returning to, as the Upanishads put it, the golden city of the heart, and resting in the arms of the Lord of light, the Lord of love, is my salvation. It's a safe place. It's the high tower, you know, within us, that withinness, as Joel said, faith is achieved only as one refuses to believe or have faith and retires to the withinness of himself and just wait, ask for light, ask for information, ask for guidance, or turn everything over and just say, I don't know, and wait and see what happens. You know, all of that, God is known by experience. It's feeling. It's not thinking. It's not, you know, if I say so many prayers, if I say my prayers in exactly this way, if I make these affirmations in exactly this way, what is that? As I'm saying that, as I'm giving that example, it's like you're clenching on to it. You know, you have to say it in exactly the same way or else you won't get it, you know, or God will misinterpret it. Oh, that was funny. But, you know, the thing is that every good thing, just even the desire to have that connection and that experience with source, with soul, I like the word God, all that is, you know, all that is, universe, infinite being, supreme being, whatever your word is, it is all the same thing. There is only one life, one source, one love that we call God. So the Tao, Brahman, all of it, the infinite self, it's all the same thing. And we can experience that because it is our consciousness. It is our consciousness. And when we desire to have that connection, where do you think that desire is coming from? It's coming from that consciousness, that which lives us, God, source, life. Human mind, human thinking, we wouldn't think of that. You know, that's our human consciousness is based on the material world around us, which is an effect of our consciousness. But I'm not going to go there. I could go down that road pretty easily. But think of it that way. You know, it's one of those circles, you know, us realizing that within our consciousness, within ourselves, we can feel the infinite. We can know the infinite. And through that knowledge, through that experience, our lives change because we realize that we can depend on it. And we can depend on it exclusively. And that's really when things start to change. And that's also, that is faith. That dependence is faith, but it grows. And grows and grows. And pretty soon you just kind of look at stuff around you or people, no matter how much you love them and how close they are to you. And you just realize it's a beautiful thing. When you look at somebody maybe that you have depended on and realize that, you know, all those times that you were disappointed because they didn't come through in the way you thought they should come through, it was just them being them. You know, just them being them. And human beings are human beings. So to depend on someone to be a certain way, to do what you want them to do, a lot of times without even like verbalizing what you want them to do, just thinking they should know, you're disappointed. Well, take it inside you know, take that inside, feel that presence, feel those beautiful, wonderful, everlasting arms around you. And that's really all you need. And again, it can be 1 or 2 minutes, just being quiet, being in that feeling, in that beautiful silent space. Anyway, Joel, back to what Joel wrote, you know, it says, in quietness and confidence, you await the establishment of God's faith and his vision within you. Faith is not something generated in us toward God, but a quality and an activity of God imparted by him to us. Well, Florence Goldshin wrote, you can never do a thing you cannot see yourself doing or fill a place you cannot see yourself filling. This is not visualizing, making a mental picture. That is a mental process and often brings wrong and limited results. This must be a spiritual realization, a feeling that you are already there, that you are already in its vibration. That's from The Power of the Spoken Word. She explains it further in The Game of Life and How to Play It. She wrote, I'm asked so often the difference between visualizing and visioning. Visualizing is a mental process governed by the reasoning or conscious mind. Visioning is a spiritual process governed by intuition or the superconscious mind, the infinite self. The student should train his mind to receive these flashes of inspiration and work out the quote-unquote divine pictures through definite leads. Definite leads meaning intuitive hits. You follow your intuition. You have the inspiration, and then you wait, and you follow as intuition leads you. She wrote, when a man can say, I desire only that which God desires for me, his false desires fade from the consciousness. God's plan for each man transcends the limitation of the reasoning mind and is always the square of life containing health, wealth, love, and perfect self-expression. Well, of course it is. You know, of course it is. Of course God's mind, God's plan, God is, you know, transcends the reasoning mind. But, you know, it's always perfection because God is experiencing God through and as us. We're God's vehicle for experiencing the physical plane, for doing, being, having, knowing, you know, but it's not, we're a vehicle, you know, and our vehicle is our physical body, our mind, and our emotions. And so these things belong to us, but the I that I am is God. So, you know, faith is also letting go of that smallness. I mean, we cannot know what is best for us. We can't. We see something, we figure out we want something, and then we become attached to it, and that attachment freezes it in place. And it also, I didn't put it in my notes here, but she kind of ends that explanation with, many a man has created a bungalow when he could have created a mansion, you know, had he gotten out of the way and just let the God mind take over, not the reasoning mind. But faith really is letting go of smallness. Faith is just letting go. You know, just letting everything and everyone be who they are, where they are, and knowing that whatever that is, wherever it is, whatever it is has nothing to do with me, you know, nothing to do with me at all. And, you know, again, it's back to assumptions, you know, not making assumptions. Ruiz, you know, we assume we know what people are thinking, what they're doing, and then we take what they do personally, which it's not personal. It's not about us at all. I mean, it's just we weave our own silly webs of just stupidness. I mean, really, We really do. When we can just sit back and go, okay, I can just let that go. And you can. I mean, it takes practice and it takes work and it takes constant sometimes, really, if it's something that's really big or difficult, it takes surrender. That's what it takes. Just giving it away. If it hurts, if you're angry about something, it takes surrender. It's not yours. It's Florence casting the burden. I cast the burden of anger, resentment, bitterness, sadness, being hurt on the God self within, and I go free. It can't exist in the God self within. Therefore, you truly do go free, and you feel that when you honestly cast that burden, when you honestly give it away. So back to faith. Alan Watts. Alan Watts has a series of lectures called the Essential Lectures on alanwatts.org. And the series, it's a series of 28-minute long videos. And they're absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. In the lecture called God, he talks a lot about faith. But he has an interesting, it's just great. So I'm not going to set it up any further. I don't need to. This is not verbatim. It came from me listening to it. He basically says, whatever concept we have of God is something we invented, which cannot be God, right? A concept cannot be God. God is. But man needs those concepts so that we may have something to hold on to, something to believe in, something to cling to. But he said that belief is not faith. The root word of belief is the Anglo-Saxon word leaf, which means to wish. And belief is a strong wish. He said, real faith does not need beliefs. True faith is an openness of trust, like swimming. If you know how to swim, you're not struggling or fighting the water. You're allowing the water to hold you up as you move with it. He talks about God as no thing. And Neville did in a show a couple weeks ago. We talked about that. He talks about no thing. Or as Joel put it, the thing that lives me must be God. Life, capital L-I-F-E. You cannot see life, only the manifestations of life in the physical. That is God. Alan Watts referred to it as the space that is behind your eyes, that you cannot see, but that sees light and images coming at you out of nowhere. Or the empty space out of which sound comes when you get quiet and focus on listening. It is no thing. But it is the witness of our experience behind our eyes, between our ears. It is the witness. It's what sees through our eyes. He talked about God as constantly creating the world. Not the, in the beginning, the world was created and all that's happening now is a result of all that's ever happened. That's not it. This is a very liberating concept. He talked about the world as a production of energy that is happening now and continues to happen in the ever-present now. It is not the result of what's happened in the past. But the past is like the wake of a ship that drifts back into the ocean as the ship moves ahead. God continues to create the world out of nothing or no thing, out of God, out of itself. Infinite spirit, infinite mind, and wills it into being now. I think that's a fascinating concept, and it rings true. It resonates with me. At least it's something worth pondering. You know, it makes a lot of other things, for me personally, it makes a lot of other things make sense. So faith is trust in a God that you cannot see, but must trust. The life that beats your heart, grows your hair, browns or blues your eyes, all the things you don't do for yourself. You take them for granted and you don't cling to them. He gives the example, breath is life. But you don't breathe in and hold your breath for fear you won't have another one, that you won't get another breath. You breathe out. You let your breath go. He said, breathing out is an act of faith. And in fact, the word nirvana means to blow out, to let go. So the highest image of God is not an image. It's an unseen and intangible no thing. Space. The infinite invisible, as Joel calls it. We have no image for it, but we have to trust it. Remember, it beats our hearts, etc. So, to trust in a God we cannot conceive is a much higher expression of faith than a conception that we cling to. Breathing out, letting go, is the fundamental attitude of faith. Letting go. When you know that you don't know is when you really know. Because that is when you let go of efforts to grasp hold of life with your intellect. And again, that was from his Essential Lectures series. And you can see it, you can hear it on alanwatts.org. How cool is that? When you don't know, when you know that you really don't know, you really know. And I know that from personal experience, my three magic words, I don't know. I don't know. But that which lives me does. Therefore, I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for everything to everything. Capital E-V-E-R-Y-T-H-I-N-G. That is a statement of faith for me. That is the most powerful statement of faith for me through my experience. And when I make it, weight falls off my shoulders every time I use it. Therefore, I use it all the time. And not only does that weight, that clinging, that attachment or desire to control fall off my shoulders, but things happen as a result of letting everything go. I don't know. I don't. My human mind does not know. So I leave it to the infinite mind that is more me than this human mind. Florence wrote, all through the Bible, man is told not to be afraid. Fear is man's only enemy. It is faith turned upside down. Your enemies are your doubts and fears, your criticisms and your resentments. Every negative thought is an enemy. You may be outnumbered by adverse appearances, but be not afraid or dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Scarcely a day passes without some sort of lion appearing on man's pathway. The lions of lack, limitation, fear, injustice, dread, or foreboding immediately walk up to the situation of which you're afraid. Walk up to it. If you run away from it, it will always be right at your heels. It is heaven to be unafraid and to live fully in the now. That is to be fearless in using what we have. Fearless in using what we have. Knowing that back of us is the abundance of the spheres to draw upon. We know that fearless faith and the spoken word release this supply. Christianity was founded on faith. Faith gives one a sublime assurance of one's good. One may be surrounded by adverse appearances, but this sublime assurance impresses the subconscious mind and a way opens for the manifestation of health, wealth, and happiness. There's an endless, invisible supply for every man. Before we called, we were answered. And that's from the chapter called Fearlessness from her book, The Power of the Spoken Word. But that's another act of faith, is giving. Fearless, like she calls it in The Game of Life, fearless spending. You know, don't hold on to anything. Don't hold on to anything because nothing belongs to us. Nothing. Everything that we have belongs to source. And we are, again, another one of those circles, the inlet and outlet of supply, the inlet and outlet of grace, the inlet and outlet of life. So again, we're that instrument, we're that vehicle through which God expresses. And through giving, we just open out a way for that expression to expand. And as John Randolph Price would say, we can never outgive God. We can't. So to be fearless in, as she said, in using what we have, just more comes, you know, more comes. And when you get into that circle, that wheel, so to speak, being the inlet and outlet of supply, it's pretty interesting to watch things happen, because they do. Because when you're afraid, when you hold on to something because you think there will not be any more, you've just stopped the action of supply. You've thrown a big roadblock in there, because it is a flow. It is a flow of energy. Supply is spiritual. The demonstrations of supply are what come to us in the material, what we need when we need it. But supply is substance. It is spiritual substance. And it does not stop. You know, it's constant flow. It's constant motion. We have everything we could possibly need. That which we seek exists within us, within our consciousness. But we have to open out a way for it to demonstrate. Sorry about that noise. And the only way we do that is by giving, by letting it just flow out from us. Give whatever we can give. Doesn't have to be money. Doesn't have to be that. It can be kindness. It can be consciousness, you know, helping somebody, smiling at somebody, asking somebody how they are and actually listening, you know. That's validation of another person, which is validation of us. We are all one. It is one and the same. We are one and the same. One mind, one soul, one being, one consciousness. So I just want to end with just one more thing. Joel said, God is only glorified in our success. And that is true. And our success is, again, being able to be that inlet and outlet of supply, of grace. In material terms, a successful person is one who achieves wealth or status or accomplishes something beyond the norm. It's action. It's physical action, mental action, achieving. On the spiritual level, again, my truth, my feeling about it is that there are different forms of success, and they are quite personal and individual. Simply put, success is the demonstration of the infinite self, demonstrating God, not the personal self. For me, it's simply a shift in energy that brings healing. So whatever that is, demonstrating God, love, service, giving, and resting. Resting, letting go. Therefore, success is peace. Success is hearing the still small voice in the midst of the whirlwind. Success is detachment, non-resistance, acceptance of the circumstance you're in, and acceptance of yourself in it. Success is total and complete surrender and dependence on source. Success is independence from anyone and anything outside of us. And the thing about this success, and success, as I said, is personal. It is personal and individual. But anytime you feel just that shift in energy that is like, oh, you know, the breathing out, right? The breathing out. That is success. And if you think of it in this way, success comes moment by moment. Because we in life are constantly changing. But God always meets us where we are. And I just want to thank you for being with me today. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Have a very, very blessed week, and please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye-bye, everyone.